after this until we fly off to Kenya. So definitely a lot of mixture of feelings going on inside of definitely going to miss everyone and miss this church here. But we are very thankful for that live stream ministry and for the sound booth there. We do appreciate that. And I know it seems like it is green here, so it should be good. The only time those guys get any recognition is when there's a loud screech or squeal and everybody turns around and is looking back there, you know. So I just want to, I've been back there before, so I want to commend them and thank them for their work back there. And when everything's silent, that's when, I guess if you don't get any attention back there, that's a good thing. That's the biggest compliment maybe. But anyways, we're looking forward though to getting over to Kenya and certainly a calling that God has put on my life for many years, and so it's an exciting thing, exciting days as I prepare for the ordination, as Philip mentioned, and then also just for our departure on October 12th, and so we're looking forward to that. Ooh, there we go. Is that the mic that I'm supposed to be speaking through? Okay, very good. Well, let's take our Bibles tonight. I know time is limited on Wednesday nights, and let's take our Bibles and turn to the book of Ephesians. Ephesians chapter 5 tonight. Ephesians chapter 5. And I found out not too long ago that Pastor wasn't going to be here tonight and was asked if I would be interested in preaching. And I said, you know what, I would be happy to take the opportunity. And thank the Lord, too, for a file of sermons that I prepared while I was in Kenya. And really, the Lord, you know, as a preacher, God is always, you know, doing different things in my heart. And I often think, you know, if I had to stand up in church at the last minute and preach, what would I preach on? What's something that God is working in my heart about? And what's a burden that's in my heart that God has put? And this was definitely, as I was asked to preach, it really wasn't a hard decision as to what I believed the Lord had for me tonight to preach. And this is actually just a part of a series that I did while I was in Kenya, a series on the home, the family and children and just different things, and definitely a great need for that all around the world, a great need for it. That is something, the family is an institution that God has established, and it's being attacked everywhere around this world. There's always, Satan is always in some shape or form trying to break up healthy marriage, God-honoring marriages. He's always trying to bring, drive a wedge between parents and their children. He's always trying to drive a wedge between brothers and sisters. And, you know, you hear a lot of family disputes, you know, and you hear a lot about the in-laws, you know, and how they, boy, I just can't get along with them, you know. You know, I'm sure you know the difference between an in-law and an outlaw, right? Outlaws are wanted. but anyways, Satan is trying hard, though, to break up the family, isn't he? And it's not right. It's not what the Lord has. And the Bible gives us, there's many different passages we could look at with this tonight, but Ephesians chapter 5 is a wonderful passage, of course, written to the church at Ephesus, but all Scripture is given for by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, reproof, correction, and instruction in righteousness. And we certainly need this. I think all of us would agree that there's a great need. Satan is always trying to attack the marriage, always trying to attack the home. And all of us here tonight, you may not be the father or mother of children sitting in a pew with you tonight, but you all have a brother or a sister or a father or a mother or a son or a daughter or a granddaughter or a grandson, some. We all have relationships here in this room. And Satan is always trying to drive a wedge between and to break it up and stop the plan of God in your life. And so I'd like to look at a few key truths tonight, especially in regard to marriage. And I just kind of clipped out a section from the series that I did. But we'll start here in Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 18, a very familiar verse, but very significant verse for us as Christians. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 18, the Bible says, "And be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body. Therefore, and notice the word as here, there's a list of comparisons that are tied together by the word as. Verse 24, now, therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word, that he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. So ought men to love their wives as their own bodies. He that loveth his wife loveth himself. For no man ever yet hated his own flesh, but nourisheth and cherisheth it, even as the Lord the church. For we are members of his body, of his flesh, and of his bones. For this cause shall a man leave his father and mother, and shall be joined unto his wife, and they two shall be one flesh. This is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the church. Nevertheless, let every one of you in particular so love his wife even as himself, and the wife see that she reverence her husband. Let's pray. Lord, we seek your blessing now as we look at your word. Thank you, Father, for giving it to us. Thank you for these truths, Lord, that we can read tonight and we can apply to our lives. We can know that this is from you. Lord, I pray that you would work mightily tonight. You would work through me as your mouthpiece. Lord, I need your strength. God, I cannot get up here and preach a message that will transform lives. Lord, I can yield to you, and you can work through me, Lord. And the power of your word, the power of your spirit within me as your child can be used of you tonight, Lord, to transform lives, to transform marriages. Maybe there's someone here tonight, God, that is struggling in their marriage relationship in some way or some other relationship with their parents or with a sibling. Lord, we just pray that you would bless and that you would be glorified by all that we learn tonight and how we respond to what we learn. We pray for your blessing, Lord. Thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. So I would like to look tonight at primarily the marriage relationship. And some of you here tonight might be thinking, well, that's, you know, maybe that was, a thing of the past for you, or maybe that's something that you're possibly looking forward to someday. Either way, for those of you, those of us who are married here tonight, and those here tonight who may be looking forward to that relationship someday as the Lord would lead, either way, it's good to have the right thinking. It's good to have biblical thinking. It's absolutely critical to have biblical thinking in our mind and know what the Bible says about marriage. And maybe that isn't in your future. You're probably going to interact with other people who God could use you to help them. Maybe they'd be looking for some advice, or you'll just find yourself in a situation where you could give them some counsel on in something with this. So I trust that each of us realize that this is not just for a husband and wife who's sitting in the pew tonight, but that God would just open our hearts no matter what our status is in life at this point. So we started here with verse 18. Be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. I'd like to look, first of all, at what does a Spirit-filled husband look like? What does a Spirit-filled husband look like? Now, that's kind of not an easy thing to preach when your wife is sitting right here in the front row. You know, I'm kind of, my life, I've got to watch what I say. But most importantly, I'm not up here preaching this because I have it all figured out. It's because it's the Word of God. And I need it myself, and I trust that God will use this in my life as well to strengthen my heart, my marriage relationship, help me to be the proper husband as well that God would want me to be. But the key here is being filled with the Spirit. Obviously, as we look through this passage, the husband is spoken of in this passage as the head of his home. He is the head of his wife, the head of his children, if God would bless with children. And the husband is to portray the same Spirit
that Jesus Christ portrayed in the process of establishing the New Testament local church. Jesus Christ, think about that for a minute. What did Jesus Christ do? What was his pattern? What was his example? We look down at verse 24. Verse 24 says, "Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it." As Christ loved the church and gave himself for it. What is that really talking about? What does that really mean? It's important for every one of us tonight to think about what that comparison is right there. As Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it. Did Jesus Christ come to this earth to just kind of put on a power display? He could have done that, couldn't he? I mean, he did a lot of wonderful things, showing his mighty power, showing his divinity. But that was not the main purpose that he came to this earth. The Bible says that he came not to be ministered unto, but to minister and to give his life a ransom for many. To give of his life. Every pattern that you see in the life of our Savior, Jesus Christ, you see very vividly, very strongly and clearly a pattern of giving of himself. And so as we see this comparison, the Bible says here that the husband is the head of the wife. We see that in verse 23. The husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church. But in verse 25, we see, "Husbands, you are to love your wives even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it." You know, you hear a lot of talk these days. A lot of husbands will make in the world around us will make comments, you know, like, "Oh man, I just can't figure that woman out. You know, the women, they're just hard to figure out." Something just came to my mind here. I don't know if Pastor said it or somebody recently mentioned kind of a joke about a dog, a husband, a guy who, I don't know if you guys, do you remember that, what that was, Micah? Do you remember it? Okay. Something about loving his dog that he didn't, you know, he gets so much love from his dog or something that he didn't need a wife or, I don't know. But, you know, that's not true. That is not true. The Bible made men and women to be married together, to be married, the husband of one wife and one woman. That's under great attack today in our society. But even right here in our church, Satan is trying to attack marriages. And I think it's absolutely critical for the husbands, any man here tonight, to realize that the husband is to love his wife as Christ loved the church and gave himself for it. You know, being the head of the family does not provide the right to act like a dictator. You know, some husbands like to kind of march into their home like they're the king and they just kind of whip everyone into shape and everybody has to bow to them and kiss their feet and they never lift a finger to help with things around the house. And, you know, the husband is the king of the home. Well, that's not the picture that we have here of Jesus Christ, the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. He came and he served. He knelt down onto his knees and washed the feet of his disciples. He gave of himself. And then we could get into everything, you know, but that he gave as he went to the cross. He many times would get out alone into a solitary place and pray. He was always giving of himself, giving his life and giving his time. You know, he wasn't concerned about me, me, me. I think it's important that your wife and kids should see a very clear daily example of dad being controlled by the Holy Spirit. A daily example of dad being controlled by the Holy Spirit. You know, a lot of times, I know especially for being in ministry, you know, there's the temptation that, hey, my ministry is out there. You know, I'm going to go out soul winning. I'm going to devote my, just pour myself into people all around me and be used of God to reach other people. I'm reading a book called Mountain Rain. I've been reading it kind of little by little here and there, but written by James Frazier. And you'll know it's a powerful book, very moving book, but you'll notice inside the cover of the book, you'll notice a statement in there written by his daughter. The book was actually compiled by his daughter. And it's something to the effect of, in honor of my father, whom I wish I knew had gotten to know a lot better in life. You know, she respected him, and this man gave his life for a lot of people. A lot of people there in China were greatly impacted, but she didn't really know who her father was very well. Boy, that's sad to me. You know, how can the next generation carry on the message of the gospel? How can they carry on any impact in this world if mom and dad are not seeing their own children as a opportunity to raise for the Lord? If they're not impacting their wife and their children for the Lord? Think about, again, as we think about here, the spirit of Jesus Christ, okay? We are to have a spirit-filled marriage, obviously, in verse 18. Every part of the Christian life is to be filled with the Spirit. And so that, and then it goes right into the marriage relationships and the home and the structure and God's plan for the home. So your wife and your kids ought to see a clear daily example of dad being controlled by the Holy Ghost. You know, Jesus, he had some righteous, there were times where he displayed righteous anger, but you know what? He never lost his temper. And I know that there were times, I'm sure, where he was extremely frustrated with the disciples, extremely frustrated, tempted to be frustrated, I should say, with the Pharisees and the Sadducees around him, people who would scoff and would mock him, even though he was there giving of himself. But he never lost his temper. And that's a very significant thing. I know that is one area that destroys a lot of relationships. A father, a husband's temper. How do you respond, dads? Do you have a spirit-filled response? God has convicted me about this a lot since I've been married. The Lord has shown me areas in my life where I need the Lord's help with that. You know, if I'm losing my temper in the home, whether I'm a mom, you know, whether you're a mom or a dad or children, boy, that God ought to have control of that. That ought to be yielded to the Lord. That is not something that we just should excuse. It's not something that, oh, that's how my dad was and my grandfather and my great-grandfather. Well, it may have been, but you know what? The Lord is there to give victory over that and to enable you to live a spirit-filled life if you are willing to yield to Him. Jesus Christ, our example, He gave Himself. He wasn't there to blow a temper. He didn't lose His temper at different people. You know, maybe you're a future father sitting here tonight, or a future mother, and that is an area that, you know, certain situations, settings you get into, you lose your temper. That is something that is a very significant hindrance in a lot of marriages today. And it is something that is absolutely wrong that God is willing to enable you to give victory, to get victory. I remember one time, shortly after Levi was born, you know, Pastor Van Gelderen, I've heard him say before that a lot of times marriage and having children, just kind of, the Lord uses that to reveal to you how selfish we really are many times and how much we need to give of ourselves. And I remember one time when Levi was just a baby, he was just really crying and crying. And I think it was a Sunday afternoon. We were at some other church out representing the camp, and we were trying to catch a nap that afternoon, and boy, we just couldn't sleep a wink because little Levi, as an infant, was just crying and crying away. And we were so tired and wanting to get to sleep. And I remember inside of me, it was just kind of boiling, like, oh, when is he going to be quiet and get to sleep? And I know he's just a little baby and doesn't know any better, but you know how it is. We don't always think very logically. And I remember I kind of jumped up out of the bed and I kind of yelled at him and said, quiet. And he quieted down, but then just started trembling and really crying. And then my wife started crying and I was thinking, what have I done? You know, that was absolutely not the right response. And I don't blame them at all for crying and responding the way they did. And you know what? The Lord really used that in my life to break me that day in a very, very important area. And realize, Stephen, that should never happen again. And I praise the Lord that He has given a great measure of victory in that. And, you know, I'm not perfect. I could easily yield to temptations again to show frustration and to kind of bark out at people. But you know what? That is not a Spirit-filled response. It does not matter what is going on. I thank God that He has given me such a gracious wife. I feel like she's one of the, you know, I don't know of anybody else in this world that would be easier to love than her. And she, you know, just an incredibly wonderful wife. But you know what? Satan tries to get in between. He tries to bring areas of contention. And we just celebrated our 9th anniversary this week. And I just want to praise the Lord that He has enabled us to never, ever get in an argument or even come close to an argument that I can think of. And that is the grace of God. God can do that. That is not me. In and of myself, I know how rotten I am. I know how sinful I am. But you know what? God can give us the victory when we submit ourselves to Him. Like we see in verse 18, you can choose to submit yourself to the power of wine, or you can choose to submit yourself to the Spirit of God. Two stark contrasts there in verse 18. We can yield to our flesh, you know, we can yield to that, but we can yield to the Holy Spirit of God. And a lot of times we believe lies. Our pride gets in the way. We're not willing to allow God to humble. You know, I had to go to my wife, and then I was in tears after that. And I apologized to her, and I said, that was absolutely wrong for me to do. And would you forgive me? And of course, she forgave me so graciously. But boy, I thank God that He, you know, I could have responded the other way. I could have looked at her and said, what are you crying for now? You know, come on, get with it. How are we ever going to get a nap if all this is going on? And I could have plopped back on the bed. And, you know, I've seen that happen before in marriages. I've seen that happen. I thank God for putting me into a home where I didn't see, you know, I saw my mom and dad in a very gracious relationship to each other. I don't remember them ever arguing with each other about things, you know, and raising their voices at each other. You know, that is a work of God's grace. God can give victory in these areas. If you're struggling with that, if you're a young person, don't think that by getting married, that's all just going to kind of dissolve. It will get even worse, I'm sure. Because in a marriage relationship, you've got to give of yourself. Jesus Christ loved the church and gave Himself for it. He surrendered everything that He needed to surrender for the cause of the church to be able to come into existence. And He gave it so that we can sit here tonight as a church. And we can glorify the Lord Jesus Christ in our marriages, in our relationships. So I spent a little time on that temper because I know that, especially for guys, that is something we like to excuse. It's something we like to gloss over. And it is something that Satan is using to drive wedges into relationships like nothing else. And it's a very, very critical thing to deal with, I believe. I know a lot of husbands, or at different times, husbands will treat their wife like she's a servant rather than being Christ-like. We have in Philippians chapter 2, verses 5 through 8, we won't look at it, but a tremendous passage of Jesus Christ giving of Himself, emptying Himself. And He says, let this mind be in you. We are to have that mindset of humility, that mindset of servanthood. Christ was the servant. And husbands are to lead the home by following His example. An example of a servant. Guys, when was the last time you got up and did the dishes at home? Or are you above that? Is that just for your wife? When was the last time you swept the kitchen floor? When was the last time you picked up some rugs in the house and shook them outside? And you helped out your wife instead of plopping home on, you know, coming home and plopping on the couch. And, you know, I remember long days at camp and I'd come home and I'd be ready to just, you know, throw in the towel. But there were things that I could help with. You know, especially when your wife has children at home, you know, it's like she's been with them all day long. And then you come home and, you know, now she's got another child to take care of. That ought not be the way it is. That should not be the way it is at all. She should be relieved when dad comes and her husband comes in the door because, boy, he's such a blessing in the home. because he's such a leader by example in the home. He's so spirit-filled. He is following the example of Christ. Christ knew exactly the needs of his bride, the church. And he spent his life on earth showing his love by serving and by sacrificing himself. Satan gets us to believe a lot of lies that, hey, if I apologize for that, boy, they're not going to respect me at all. You know what? That is absolutely the opposite. When somebody apologizes and they have humility to say, you know what, I was wrong about that. Would you forgive me? Even to your children. I've done that to my children before, and that is one of the most unfun things to do, to have to apologize for something. And you know what? It goes a long way. Because they just saw me, whatever it was, lose my temper. They just saw me, you know, do something, whatever it was that I should not have done. And when I apologize, that speaks volumes to them, and God is able to pour out his grace. Okay, God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. I know of a godly man, a godly husband and father that has several children, and one of his children, I know, left the home and ran off with some man. And you know what he pointed it to? He traced it back to a situation that he encountered with that daughter where he dealt with it in a very harsh way, very prideful way, never really went back and apologized and dealt with it. And that girl held on to that. Allowed that bitterness. That was wrong for her to hold on to that. She should have forgave him. But you know what? It's a whole lot easier when dad leads the home in humility. When dad leads that marriage relationship. When your kids see, boy, dad really loves mom. They ought to see that. They ought to see that. They ought to see, boy, dad loves mom, not just because he gives her kisses and hugs. That ought to be happening for sure. But, you know, they ought to see dad sweeping the floor. They ought to see dad cleaning up dishes off the table. You know, the list goes on and on. But it's humility that will drive that. Husbands must die to their own selfish desires and seek to lead in the home with godly humility. You know, husbands might say, well, my wife won't follow. You know, she just is stubborn. You can't figure her out. She won't follow my leadership. You know, I guarantee that any husband who is humbly following the Lord, your wife is going to want to follow you and your leadership. If you are humbly walking with God, you're in love with God, and you're in love with your wife and your children, they're going to want to follow that kind of leadership. It's how God created it to be. Now, I realize there might be some here tonight with an unsaved spouse. Just really briefly, as we kind of wrap this up, 1 Peter chapter 3, verses 1 and 2 deals with that. 1 Peter chapter 3, verses 1 and 2. First Peter 3, verses 1 and 2. We find a very similar passage. The Bible says, likewise, ye wives, be in subjection to your own husbands, that if any obey not the word, they also may without the word be won by the conversation of the wives, while they behold your chaste conversation coupled with fear. Now this is talking specifically to the wives, saying if you have a husband who is not following the word, if he's not obeying the word, you know, that would definitely include unsaved husbands, that they ought to see that, you know, yes, you have a spirit of submission, you have a spirit of humility to follow God primarily, and also to honor your husband, to reverence him, like the Bible says. But verse 2, while they behold your chaste conversation coupled with fear. That word chaste has the idea of clean, innocent, or modest. And that word conversation there ties right in with behavior. So an innocent, modest behavior. Your husband ought to see that. They ought to see that genuine devotion to God, that innocent, clean, modest behavior. And then we going back to Ephesians chapter 5, we see in verses 28 and 29, the Bible says, love your wife as your own body. You are one flesh. Okay? Verses 28 and 29 says, so ought men to love their wives as their own bodies. He that loveth his wife loveth himself, for no man ever yet hated his own flesh, but nourisheth and cherisheth it, even as the Lord the church. I remember over the years, Pastor always would give the illustration of getting a sliver in your finger, you know. And boy, you take care of that right away. You go deal with it right away. It hurts. I'm going to get rid of it. It's hurting me. I can't do anything else. Can't think about anything else until I get that out. That kind of attention and devotion is what a husband ought to be giving in toward loving his wife. I know that sounds a little exotic, but that's what the Bible is talking about here. Okay, giving of yourself. Care for your wife as you would care for yourself. And then last of all, we've seen what a spirit-filled husband should look like. And of course, there's so much more we could get into on that. But what does a spirit-filled wife look like? Verses 22 and 24, the Bible says, "Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord." And verse 24, "Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything." So the wives are to submit to their husbands as unto the Lord. And boy, husbands, it makes it a whole lot easier for them to submit when we are submitted to the Lord. When we're following Him on a daily basis, humbly walking with Him. And then she is to submit to her husband as unto the Lord, and she is to submit in everything. So as we close tonight, when a husband is not doing his part in submitting to the Lord in every area, he makes it very difficult for his wife to submit to the Lord and to him. You're making it hard for your wife to submit to the Lord and to you. If you are not just, if your heart cry every day is not, "Lord, help me to submit to you today. Help me to follow you. Help me to be the right husband. Help me to be a spirit-filled husband. Give me victory in this area and that area where I know I'm not walking with you." When a husband is submitting to and following Christ, trusting God for grace to love his wife as Christ loved the church, that whole idea of just giving of yourself, not in it for myself. Husbands, not seeking to get what you can out of the marriage relationship. That's the last thing on the list of priorities. The first thing is, how can I give of myself? You're paying attention to her needs, what she really needs. Submitting to Christ. Let's bow our heads for prayer as we look to the Lord. I trust that God would use this in our hearts tonight. And as we bow our heads and close our eyes, I think of Joshua 24:15, where Joshua said, "As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." And if a husband or father is humbly and fully seeking after the Lord like he should, then a wife and children will be strongly impacted to follow after God and His ways. Husbands, fathers, I hope we're making it a priority tonight to follow the Lord's leading in this very important area. If you're not, if your kids are seeing things in your life, your wife is seeing things in your life that you're not being humble about and confessing as wrong, and they all know it's wrong, but you're not willing to be honest, you are going to drive them away from you. You're going to drive your marriage apart. You're going to drive your relationship with your children apart. Let's be honest with God tonight. Let's be honest and just let Him have His way. Stop giving in to the lies of the devil, the deception of Satan. It only increases our pride and drives the work of God further, and it drives our marriage apart, drives our family away from us. Lord, we just come to you and seek for your blessing. Help us, Lord, to be filled with the Spirit in every relationship in our lives. Help children, Lord, to be submitted, as this passage talks about, submitted to you, submitted to mom and dad. Help fathers to humbly be submitted to you, Lord, and wives to reverence their husbands and follow you. Lord, it's all your perfect plan, and when we follow your plan, we aren't missing out on anything, and you are being glorified. But Lord, when we don't humble ourselves and humbly follow your plan, then Lord, we are going to make a big mess of things. We'll have a lot of regrets, and you, most importantly, will not be honored. Lord, we just come to you tonight and ask you to work powerfully in our midst tonight in every relationship represented here in this room. We thank you, God, for what you will do. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.